Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
He knows if I'm not satisfied, man. Just like any player, it's fair that you're asking about it. I can promise you it gets addressed when it isn't where it needs to be. There are times like any player or any performer where it's exactly where it needs to be, and there are times when it's not, and then we have to address it to get it hopefully where it needs to be. So it's addressed. It's been good at times, and other times it can improve for sure.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott from yesterday in his meeting with the media talking about Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman, who we took a call about an hour ago or so mentioning, you know, key players not meeting expectations.
Jerry, yep.
Yeah, Jerry. Didn't even mention Keon Coleman going into his second year, and especially after the training camp he got and a lot of the good publicity he was getting, understandably so,
right,
for his stacking big practices and stuff like that in camp, it looked like, okay, here's the ascension. No, it has not arrived at all. And to be fair,
failed at the preseason pledge.
Yes, we did. But I'm at a point with Coleman, and it doesn't help that, like, when McDermott does some of these non-answers, I'm not judging, I'm just
observing.
Yeah, observing. I mean, the Waddle report. How do we know he maybe wasn't offered in that? Could have been. I mean, at least with the Jets. That's for Quinn and Williams, but the Jets also wanted young players as well. They don't just want the picks. They wanted players. They get Mozzie Smith. They get A.D. Mitchell in some of those returns. Maybe Miami's like, yeah, give us Keon. It'll be a cheap contract. We can take that on. We'll get Waddle off our books, and we'll get your pick. That'll be great for us. I don't know. It's just something I've thought about where, because he is on the field more than any other receiver. And to many observers, you would not even notice that. He really just blocks. He had a touchdown against Miami. I will grant him that. It was a deep ball. Looked nice. Kind of meant nothing. Because for most of the time, it feels like he is just kind of jogging out there, especially on those plays where Allen is becoming Josh Allen, and he's scrambling around. A lot of people noticed it. It's why Matt Parrino asked the question. Many people were noticing on social media that there's some, at times, lackadaisical effort from Coleman. And you can't have that in your second-year receiver, where that's where they put the draft capital for that position.
That is the investment they made.
Yeah, it may not be the guy anyone really wanted at the time, but they did address it. The problem is he has not been a hit even slightly, and maybe more to that problem is that he's become sort of what everyone thought he'd be. Can't really get open, probably better as an inside slot. Here you go. And that's what he is. It's tough. It's tough. You can't say they haven't tried helping out the offense. Kincaid, Coleman, Cook, all in recent years, they have done that. They're not getting the hits. Coleman is the biggest, you know, affront to that.
Yeah, I think that's part of it too. I do think there should have been more of an investment into the position through younger upside, but it's that you're not getting the hits. And when you say it like that, I do think that that expands even further into the free agency acquisitions as of late as well. Like Josh Palmer before his injury still really wasn't popping off.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, like you look at years past, like Deontay Hardy or
Trent Sherfield,
or
Emmanuel Sanders. You get about a year, about a half a year out of him.
Well, even I'm talking more of the last few years,
mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that I'm not.
Curtis Samuel,
exactly. Like you threw money around with the idea that like, oh, underutilized player might be able to benefit here.
He's playing with Josh Allen. He'll have a career year, right?
And even looking back at two different coordinators, Dorsey and Brady is the coordinator for the end of 23.
Mm-hmm.
But still, under Joe Brady, it has not worked either there. And I'm starting to really become curious about the OC, what it means for boundary receivers, mostly because none of them wow you at this point anymore.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. We've been connected to our fans all morning, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com, and we're going to continue to do that and go to the phones here, and we will start off this segment with Ken on the line. Ken, how we doing? Ken, are you there? Oh, Ken's not there. That's a shame. Let's go back to the phones. Frank is with us. Frank, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I'm a longtime Buffalo fan. I live in Wyoming, University of Wyoming alum. Followed Josh a long time. My comment is mainly about Sean McDermott. I mean, I have no axe to grind against him. He may be a great guy, a great man. But I think that he plays the game to not lose rather than playing the game to win. And that's two different coaching philosophies. You compare he never rolls the dice, in my opinion. And he has a quarterback who has tremendous talents, as we all know. And I think that permeates that philosophy. A team takes on the persona of the coach. And I think Buffalo is more of a reactive type of team. They don't want to go out and dictate. They don't want to go out and be proactive and force other teams to react to what they want to do. Sure, you run the ball, but you guys earlier talked about how mundane Brady's offense is. And I think to the average person, I'll bet that the majority of people watching that Miami game closely who are fairly attuned to football could guess when Buffalo was going to throw the ball or run the football. It's just very vanilla. And I think that Sean may be a great personality, a great players type of coach. But you compare him to Spagnuolo or to Andy Reid, there's just no cleverness. There's no deception in Buffalo's offense. And I think you guys know, too, that professional athletes, sure, you get somebody who has burning speed like a Tyreek Hill, but there aren't 10 of those guys in the league. And, you know, for the most part, a guy who's a run-of-the-mill receiver versus somebody who is great receiver maybe is a half a step type of difference in top end speed. But my point is I'm not trying to tear Sean McDermott down, but it's just that it's just blasé, quite honestly. And I'm not trying to be cruel here, but it's just not even entertaining to watch Buffalo play anymore.
No, Frank, I can understand that. And you mentioned like the kind of more reactionary and stuff like that, not pushing the agenda. I think that's been true this year. We've seen the fourth down numbers go back towards a little more conservative, where for years McDermott had really kind of squashed the narrative as being, he's conservative, he doesn't want to go forward on fourth. No, he, for 4 or 5 years, was one of the more aggressive. He's not Dan Campbell, but he's certainly not Mike Tomlin, who is terrified of the idea of going
forward
on fourth.
He's not even Sean McVay.
No.
In that sense, where McVay is seen as like one of the more forward-thinking mm-hmm. coaches. McDermott is far more aggressive than even McVay is.
Yeah.
He's probably, I'd call, like your top 10 – he's a top 10 coach when it comes to aggressiveness on fourth down and having faith in the offense to do it.
This year, the numbers have gone down, though.
Now, he mentions reactionary. I do think that McDermott is reacting to a lack of faith in the coordinator.
Yeah, I don't. Listening to McDermott, really the Carolina game was eye-opening for me. They won by 31 points.
Right.
95% of coaches would have taken the passing game questions and spit them back in your face.
Right.
And pointed to the running back that had 200 yards and the 31-point victory and said, why would I care about that? Wasn't needed. What Joe Brady said wasn't needed. We can throw the ball when we want to throw the ball. Today, that was not the case. We won running the ball.
As a matter of fact, the OC was dismissive about it.
Right. The head coach, though, in both the postgame and his Monday press conference with the media, couldn't wait to bring up how disappointed he was in the passing game and how much they needed more. McDermott, years, has talked about not losing the fastball.
And
the receivers.
That's where I think that there might be this like difference.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a disconnect.
And I think this is where I do wonder if there has been a bit of an evolution of Sean McDermott, where he is more of the delegator, the head coach, and I think he is kind of seeing it a little bit. He has had to take the reins again on the defense, helping out Bobby Babich, being a little bit more of a joint thing, as he has said. But I do wonder if the head coach, voicing the same concerns that a lot of us seem to have.
Your concerns are my concerns, an exact quote from him.
I'm wondering if it's a bit of a fallacy to say, oh, this is the offense McDermott wants. He's very publicly stating, nah, man.
It's not what he wants.
Keep my name out your mouth.
But again, I think this is where it does frustrate some fans, and I can understand the frustration.
It's because McDermott's been here since 2017.
Well, he's been here since 2017, and he won't throw anyone under the bus. He's not outright saying, yeah, Keon's not getting open. Josh Palmer's not doing anything for me before his injury.
As a matter of fact,
he's
Brian
not
Dable.
Doing it. Right.
Hey, have you considered it? Great guy.
Yeah, right. Great guy.
Great dude. Knows his stuff. We're not thinking about it at this time. Also known as, I know Joe Brady's going to get offensive or he's going to get head coaching interviews.
I'm not going to burn him.
If I suddenly hire Brian Dable back in here, those jobs are gone.
Well, offensive assistant would be fine. I mean, because that's just, you're bringing in a former head coach.
That's still publicly undermining
it could, yeah.
The offensive coordinator, and enough teams mm-hmm. looking for somebody might go, okay, they don't believe in him. Why should I interview him for a head coaching job?
I'm telling you, man, I think it's the college route for him. Because college even then, LSU, will not care. They won't care at all. Nick Saban was a tire fire at Miami, and Alabama
he was also
like,
Nick Saban
we'll
at LSU.
We'll bring him in. Hey. I know, but that's the thing. Joe Brady was Joe Brady at LSU.
But he was only the passing game coordinator.
But he is the architect of that unbelievable offense. He's the guy that got all the credit for it. And LSU also is going to pay all of their money to Brian Kelly. It sounds like he's not going to get any of that the lesser buyout. It sounds like it's going to be that $50 billion buyout. So it might be more of a, yeah, okay, we'll bring in the coordinator that maybe has some warts, but he knows the fan base. He knows the alumni. He knows the boosters. I think it's college for him. But, I think McDermott has been, I don't want to say a joy to listen to this year. That's not really the right way to put it.
He's been more interesting to listen
to. But he has been more interesting to listen to this year because it seems like he really does fit with what a lot of fans are saying, but he's going to get the brunt of the criticism. Understandably so.
Because you're a head coach, you wear
it. That is going to happen, and it should happen. It's your team. You know, you're the guy that kind of has somewhat okayed a lot of these decisions. Brady coming in and getting more to the run. People have for years wondered, is he the reason why they draft so highly on defense? Is because he really is running the drafts, Bean doesn't actually. No, I think it's further from that. I think that they had needs on defense, but you have a general manager who is happy to kind of put his neck out of the line to kind of not value wide receivers, not highly as much as maybe everybody else, right? It's not that they don't value the position. Bean did want to go out there and put his neck out there for Josh Palmer after his appearance with Jeremy and Joe. But that's kind
it's
of...
It's also the fact that he went...
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign. No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
On a little victory tour, so to say.
The media tour afterwards, you know, Pat McAfee and what have you.
There's the Bills embedded about it.
Yeah.
Starting it off with that. Like, cool.
And again, you're not going to get a team who is a Super Bowl favorite that is going to start fires in the building. I think that's a big part of it. You're just not going to get that when, I mean, look what their Hard Knocks was. It was kumbaya. It was everything's great. Look how awesome this is. We're back. Who cares what happened last year? Let's ride. We never even got an episode of James Cook and the contract extension and negotiations and the whole lot. Nothing. They're a Super Bowl contender. You don't want to be the guy that burns it all down because you're a little upset. Because ultimately, they did go to the AFC Championship last year with this same style. But like we brought up about an hour ago, they had to be nearly perfect on offense and also had to be, you know, have the bonus of your defense getting a ton of takeaways. And it allowed for you then to maybe inflate your numbers more than they are. It's not to say they're a terrible offense. They're not. They're top 5 to 10 in almost every single category. But I think most people who watch the NFL go, yeah, but Detroit's probably better than them. The Rams are better than them on offense. Eagles probably no, but Tampa's had their days. Seattle certainly is better than pretty much everybody, it seems like, in terms of the eye test. And that's really where their issues come down to, is that they're not perfect this year. And it has caused them to lose more games, really, that they shouldn't.
And there's some of it that's on execution as well, on the offensive line. The line has played a lot differently than they did last year. It was probably one of the best pass blocking seasons that we will ever see, as a matter of fact. And it does start there. Obviously, you throw off the timing. But, yeah, against Miami, Allen has what? 3.5 on average seconds to throw? And he can't pull the trigger because people are not getting open. And again, it's definitely getting frustrating because it is the combination of the scheme and the talent at receiver not working to a point where it's hurting them now.
I am okay, though, if they bring in Dable for a small role. That
I would agree.
Those advisor, it's more like, you know, they're consultant. They come in, they have like the weird senior. That's a role. They're not going to fire Brady to bring in Dable as the OC. Number one, he'd have to rewrite the whole playbook. That ain't happening in November. I don't care what fantasy world you're living in. That's simply not
You're
happening.
Operating with the other person's playbook.
Yeah, basically. So he's not really doing anything there. He would be running the same stuff, and it's just not going to happen. Brady is okay enough. I think there is a mix of the talent around him is not good enough, and he is not good enough to scheme them out of it.
Yes.
You also, and something that I think a lot of people don't love talking about, I know I've heard calls about it saying that too, Allen is not playing his best. There are times where he is not taking the underneath throws and is looking deep and is missing wide open Khalil Shakir or even Keon Coleman. But he's also acknowledged many times himself, trust, 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 trust. And if he doesn't trust his receivers, well, there you go. He's holding on to the ball.
But if he's looking for those deeper plays, it does seem like it is now just a philosophical difference.
Yeah.
There's a philosophical difference between a quarterback that loves to... I'm gonna have fun with this.
He's a wild horse.
He loves to party.
Yeah.
You got a quarterback that loves to party, and Brady's offense is a 9 o'clock curfew.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what I would liken it to at that point. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. I'm just thinking of Hot Rod in that one. Hi, my name is Rod, and I like to party.
That's kind of like, what it is.
That's kind of what Josh Allen's style is.
And you got the year last year, but again, they had to be borderline perfect for it to work as well as it did. And you're not getting the perfection this year. And then you also, I mean, we're talking a lot about the offense. The defense as well has been a huge problem all year.
The defense has been.
The run defense is a tragedy. For me, I can point a lot of that to how many injuries you've picked up have really, I think, just we've never been able to see that defense operate at even 90%.
And three of the top 10 rushing games this season in the entire NFL have happened against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, so I don't want to make it sound like we're ignoring the defense. It's just more the offense is the name of the game right now. This is where everyone's at. The big trade talk was Jaylen Waddle. That's a wide receiver.
Quinnen Williams is also brought up,
but the Waddle was they had the highest bid. they wouldn't change their draft pick. By all intents and purposes, it sounds like Waddle was theirs 1 minute and not the next. Where Quinnen, it more sounds like they were there. They were in on it. Dallas obviously has the higher bid. And I also wonder, how does that go with how much capital you would have in the defensive tackle position with also having Deion Walker and TJ Sanders, paying Ed Oliver already, and picking up that Quinnen Williams contract? Boy, oh boy, that is a big one.
Yes, but also you'd have a four-man rotation if all players were healthy. That would be of like...
That'd be great. I wonder
it'd be the stuff of gods.
I wonder how the math would work on that. 803-0550, the number.
The math is whoever's on the field is good.
Right. No, that's fair. Let's go back to the phones. Marcus is with us next. Marcus, how are we doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
My input on this, and I tell you what, like all of what you guys have said is been very amazing. But
thank you.
You know, and Allen, it seems like the offense is anemic, you know, at this point. I'm glad to see that we did sign Hardman. We'll see how that does. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to be a slot receiver, but I think he's going to pull coverage from Coleman. But again, Coleman, you know what? He's not really performed at all. So, like, you know, I kind of feel that, like, you know, why Bean didn't, pull at the trigger, all right, was last year, if you remember, all right, you know, there were wide receivers that had to sort of, perform. And the one that performed was Hollins. Hollins came out, and he was amazing, and he did great. And you know what? He was able to pull coverage. And you know what? The offense was able to do something. I think that when we go up against teams like, you know, teams that we see every year, like the Chiefs, you know what? We know how to deal with them. So, I mean, we're all about that, you know? And so... I think that, you know what, moving forward, I think that, you know, what we really need to do is just have to, you know, focus on coaching. You know, I mean, I'm not really, you know, happy with what Brady is doing. But you know what, Daboll just got fired. So, I mean, I would love to see, you know, him come in as like maybe a coordinator or something to kind of like maybe help.
Just another mind to kind of help out the offense. It maybe isn't a bad thing. There's also always the saying, too, if there's too many cooks in the kitchen. I think with this, though, it could help. I will say, though, on the receivers, where the offense was able to open up, Matt Collins was fun for them. I wouldn't say he was great. Where the offense opened up was just having Amari Cooper on the field. He seemed to draw coverage. He necessarily wasn't great for them.
He drew attention even though he wasn't getting the football.
But he drew enough attention that I think it allowed the Bills to be a little bit better on offense.
But he mentions Matt Collins, and I'm glad that he did.
Because Collins just had a good game.
No, not even that. Collins was their deep threat last year. Yeah. It was actually kind of sold to us that way, almost frustratingly so. And then I remember how the season started with Xavier Worthy and the back and forth that some fans had. And I remember some guy yelling at me saying, what, Matt Collins is your deep threat? The answer was yes, actually. Yeah. And some of the big plays that were made deep, including against a couple teams in the playoffs.
Well, the AFC Championship game, he has a touchdown in that
game. It's Matt Collins. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of maybe there is a problem with not having a player that can successfully get deep and cause problems. But when it comes to a boundary receiver succeeding on this team... Yeah, no, that is also on the scheme.
Yeah.
It's not just the talent, it is the scheme as well.
Yeah.
And I do want to make sure that I'm not ignoring that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. 803-0550 if you want to join the show. We've only got a few more minutes. Got to take a quick time out here. Sabres Live at the top of the hour. This is WGR.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.